On Thursday's Page One, the Federal Reserve says it's going to keep interest rates near zero through late 2014. That adds 18 months to its response to the recession. We'll look at Apple's iPad and the human cost for workers in China. Apple presses suppliers to meet safety standards, but the results are uneven. And the U.S. commando raid that freed an American aid worker and a Danish colleague. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Federal Reserve went farther than ever to assure consumers and businesses they'll be able to borrow money cheaply well into the future. The Fed is pushing back the earliest date it could raise interest rates by at least 18 months to late 2014. The Fed said record low rates are still needed to lift an improving but sluggish economy. The Fed said in a statement that the economy had expanded moderately in recent weeks, but unemployment remains high, housing is still down, and the financial worries in Europe continue to threaten the domestic economy. On Wall Street, Treasury yields sank. That'll help lower mortgage rates. The Dow Jones Industrials gained 81 points, closing at 12,757. Also on Thursday's Page One, the human cost of Apple's iPad. China's staggering manufacturing system has made it possible to construct devices almost as fast as they can be dreamed up. But for Chinese workers, it can be punishing and occasionally deadly. Some say they stand so long, their legs swell until they can hardly walk. Company reports and advocacy groups say suppliers have improperly disposed of hazardous waste. They've also falsified records. U.S. commandos freed two hostages held by Somali pirates. An ailing American aid worker and a Danish colleague are now on their way home after a dark-of-night rescue by Navy SEALs. The commandos came from the same unit that killed Osama bin Laden in Pakistan last year. This time, they slipped into a Somali encampment. They shot and killed 9 Somalis and grabbed the captives. Earlier in the week, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie proposed a ballot question to let voters decide whether to legalize same-sex marriage. Times reporter Kate Zernike says his moves on same-sex marriage have highlighted his political skills. New Jersey Democrats had been hoping he'd make good on his threat to veto their bill legalizing gay marriage. They figured that would define him as out of step with voters. But the day before a big hearing on the bill, Christie nominated an openly gay man to the state's highest court. After that, the state's best-known gay rights advocate had nothing but good things to say about Christie. In the Republican debates, has the news media's desire for a television moment made the atmosphere too raucous? Times reporter Jeremy Peters says audience response has become as much a part of the calculation as the arguing on stage. The cheering, the booing, and the silence from the audience shape the perception of how the candidates are doing. Before last week's debate in South Carolina, a CNN director tried to get the audience going. It wasn't that different from the audience warm-up at a comedy show. Inside Thursday's Times, Pakistani Prime Minister Yousaf Raza Gilani softened his criticism of top generals and the country's spy agency. He was apparently trying to ease tensions between Pakistan's civilian and military elites. Gilani spoke to reporters before leaving for the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. He said the country could not afford any more high-level friction. Earlier, he held an unusual meeting. He had the country's military and spy chiefs go to his home. On the first anniversary of the Egyptian Revolution, a huge demonstration in Cairo turned into a contest between Islamists and other activists over what to celebrate. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick says the spirit that unified last year's uprising has been replaced by tensions over the current military rule.
It's a little bit like a wedding and a funeral in the same hall. The wedding is here in Tahrir Square, where the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamists really have dominated the square. Against that, there are a variety of marches taking shape around the city, led by a more secularist group of young activists determined to call for the immediate ouster of interim military rulers.
1 year has passed since the revolution. Some stuff have changed, but a lot has not changed yet, and we're here to say that we still need more change.
A demonstrator there in Cairo interviewed by reporter David D. Kirkpatrick. President Obama is off on a 3-day trip visiting battleground election states in the West and the Midwest. Times reporter Jonathan Weissman says he's emphasizing his message of economic equality from his State of the Union address.
This has a dual purpose. He can talk about his legislative agenda, this idea that he would create a Buffett rule, whereas people earning more than $1 million should pay 30% of their income, at least, in taxes. But he'll also be hitting Mitt Romney. He probably won't use Mitt Romney's name, but with Mitt Romney's tax returns now out there, we all know that Mitt Romney earned tens of millions of dollars and pays 15% or less on his taxes. The mission that President Obama has in this Midwestern to Western swing isn't so much to lay out a legislative agenda. It's to convince voters who are struggling with their own economic circumstances that President Obama is on their side, and that if they can give him another 4 years in the White House, he can finally turn these things around.
Times reporter Jonathan Weissman. Thursday's business day says hedge funds are trying to shed their Greek debt. A lot of them loaded up on Greek bonds in the last few weeks, betting on a quick gain. Now they're worried European policymakers will force them to take a haircut. Walking away may not be that easy. The pool of potential buyers is drying up. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.